Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of the Planning Period Podcast, your Ed Break Room. I'm your host, Brad Treffler. This week on the show, I'm joined by a ton of people from my area as we do our ISTE 2018 wrap-up. Throughout the International Society for Technology and Education 2018 conference, we tried to do a little wrap-up recording to discuss what we had learned that day. We were not as successful as last year recording every day. In fact, we really only did it one day on Sunday, but some really good conversations came out of it. And then when I got back, Chip and I also met up again to talk about a reflection of the entire trip and everything we learned while we were at ISTE. We recorded that first day for a little over an hour. I was joined by former guests of the show, Andrew Jackson, Nicole Mutters, and Chip Harbin, as well as some new voices to the show, Rosina and Jackie. We talk about the lines in the morning, Dan Krynas' coaching tool session, first rounds of Ignite, which include Pernille Rip and a bunch of student speakers and everything else, and then Chip and I talk again about my own Ignite session the following day and Ignite session round two. A lot of great information in there. We talk about a lot of the different sessions and also some tips for how to plan for ISTE if you're going. The audio editing is not perfect here. Volume levels were off with being that many people in one room, and we recorded for over an hour, and I had to whittle it down for some usable content. So there are cuts that are kind of obvious, and I'm sorry for that. But there's also good conversation in there that I thought was really worth listening. So sit back and enjoy episode 56 of the Planning Period Podcast, my ISTE 2018 wrap-up. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Planning Period Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Brad Treffler, and I am joined today by a group of people who I know well and have spent a lot of time with in the past and are now with me in Chicago to experience all of the wonder and splendor that is the ISTE conference. And I cannot speak for anyone else in the room personally, but I know that I am so excited to be here. We're recording this portion of it on Sunday as we have just finished the first day of pre-conference. Technically, the conference starts tomorrow morning. And we wanted to take a couple minutes to talk a little bit about what our experience was like today. And I think there was some good and there was some bad. And so there's some things to talk about. And joining me are some people you've heard on the podcast before. We have Nicole Mutters, Chip Harbin, and Andrew Jackson, who have all three been on the podcast in previous episodes, some recently, some not as recently, some multiple episodes, and so on and so forth. And then we're also joined by Rosina and Jackie, who are with us here in Chicago as well. Thank you all for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
There we go. Excellent. Started out the day with our first bit of sessions. We're supposed to be around 9 o'clock or so. And that did not work out well for a lot of people. 10:30. And that did not work out well for a lot of people. Chip, how are you feeling about this morning?
I'm not really exactly sure the best way to talk about the way things went this morning. But I can say that as someone who lives 20 minutes from Disney World and who is very familiar with putting up with lines, spends a lot of time standing in them, typically with four children next to me.
Hashtag truth to them, though, yeah. Brother.
I was even, I don't want to say upset, because it's not like, if I was angry, I would have just walked away.
Disappointed.
Put off. Yeah, disheartened,
I
think.
That's a good word.
It was not a good way to start. Because I feel like if you're looking at a conference that has pre-conference shows, and then the conference begins, and then you have several days worth of sessions, I felt like the way things started this morning was not a positive note.
So let's talk a little bit about what actually happened this morning. And Rosina, you were the first one to actually get there. We met up with you, so you got there early.
Right. So I showed up. I figured I would. Our first session was at 10:30.
It was at 10.
10 o'clock. And I was like, okay, I'm connected to the actual conference. So it literally takes me 10 minutes to walk from my hotel to the conference. I walked over at about 9 o'clock, trying to get into Starbucks, because, you know, everybody needs their coffee in the morning. And the line was so long, I was like, forget this. So I went downstairs, just got hotel coffee, went down the other flight of stairs to the ground floor. And it was about 9:20, 9:25 at that time. And when I walked down to a first session that we wanted to go to, which wasn't starting until 10 a.m., and the line was about, I don't know, quarter mile long, and I was like,
I don't know that that's an exaggeration.
I mean, it was a good solid 150 people deep. It was about 150 people deep. But when I got into that line, they had already told me that the entire session was full. And so I took it upon myself, of course, to walk to the front and make sure they were telling the truth. And they were like, they were completely full. They're not letting anybody in until they let other people out. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, so the next session is at 11:30, which was 2 hours away. And so thankfully a bunch of people had exited the line and we decided to just sit there for
two hours. Yeah.
Chip.
Well, and not to mention the session that we all collectively as a group wanted to go see this morning.
Yes.
Was entitled Becoming Badass, Leadership Without Fear.
Right. Yeah, right. When you have a session that's entitled that, you got to have more seats than 150 people. Like, right. You can't, you know.
So, in a little bit of defense to ISTE as a group, kind of, and this is only a half-hearted defense, I'll admit, but today, most of these sessions, including the 10 o'clock and the 11:30 that we went to, were both in the People's Choice group, which is new. They have never done those before. That's something completely new this year. So I think in their mind, and Rosina, you were with me last year. Chip, you were here a few years ago. Sunday is not normally a busy day for the conference.
No.
This is my fourth year. I've never seen that many people in this conference on a Sunday. Technically, it doesn't start until tomorrow. The technical start of the conference, the show floor wasn't open today. Nothing was open until tomorrow. That is unusual. So I think that in ISTE's eyes, they thought, oh, well, it's probably not going to be that busy. On the other hand, they did People's Choice, which means hundreds of people voted. That's how come those are the sessions that got in. So there's already sort of a drive to want to be there. So, Mutters.
Exactly.
So I think one of the things we talked about as we were leaving, because we waited around for around an hour and a half, maybe longer, kind of trying to decide what to do. And honestly, as that hour and a half occurred, it got longer and longer and more crowded. I think the thing that disappointed me was these are topics that I was super excited about and super interested in. And to not be able to start off with that interest, I think was a little frustrating. And like you said, it was people's choice. So there was something about that that recognized the fact that we were interested in it and people had already voted on it. But we took away two things that, you know, everybody in our group has the app and we've been looking up stuff and talking about it. And we all had already favored it and identified multiple sessions today. I think the thing that was the frustrating part is that you would assume that they would have looked into some of this information and maybe have planned better. Because if you have over 400 people favoriting something that you have 75 seats for, maybe there should be a bigger room. And that's adjustments they could have made based on the app and based on some of that voting and information.
Or even opening up a second session where they can broadcast live or you can tune in. So, like, maybe you didn't make it in the room for 150 seats, but another room adjacent that wasn't being used to watch it live. Regardless, like, maybe we're not live sitting in the room, but to be able to watch it because it's a technology conference, okay, great. But for all of us to be able to get there and for these sessions to not be made available again, you know, it was just disheartening. It was disheartening.
Well, I can tell you as a rookie and a first-timer at ISTE conference, the networking was phenomenal. Seeing a bunch of people that I knew professionally.
I was going to ask about that because I think you of all people, I was kind of worried may not want, like, I don't know, you self-described technophobe. It's not really your priority. And I wasn't talking to you. We were actually in line, but I saw you ran into like three or four people you clearly knew and were having conversations with and were talking to.
Absolutely. The best part so far has been the experience of seeing people, meeting people, reconnecting with people that I've worked with in different districts, worked with people 10, 15 years ago, meeting new people as well. It's been fantastic from that component. But from my perspective, I missed out on an opportunity because I waited in line for an hour and a half. And while the social networking was there, I would have liked to have maybe live streamed or been able to attach myself and see the actual presentation that I miss. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that would be an easy solution because there are plenty of companies that are in the expo floor right now that you probably could have said, oh, you want to promote Go Swivel? Come bring that down to my booth. Like, there are companies that's what they do. They could have that set up in 20 minutes and be ready to go when they recognize. Or, okay, you didn't realize it at 10 o'clock. Okay, fine. The first session of the day, you didn't get it. But by the time that 11:30 session happened, you should have had the ISTE president down there going, okay, this is a problem. Because it wasn't just like we were picking the two most popular sessions. That whole area was just massive lines. It was insane.
Floor.
So you needed a stream going on in every single room at that point and run it to the bloggers cafe, run it to rooms that aren't being used, like you said, or just at least be able to say, okay, it's going to be available later.
Especially when you saw the amount of people who are waiting
exactly.
for hours.
Well, so, and let's not... I understand that Brad is your...
Disciple is the word you're looking for?
Obsessive?
He's a guru.
I mean,
yes. We'll say Brad.
No, Brad, I wouldn't
is,
give you amazing.
Brad loves a conference. He loves networking. He it's and one of the things that he does exceptionally
His love
well.
For this conference has right. spread to us, which is why so
is
many of us
yeah.
are here.
But it's love what, that. But I mean, like we talk about Jackson running into people he knew. He ran into to Sherry, right?
Yes, I do.
She's my neighbor.
Yes, she is.
If he wants to network with her, he can come have a beer at my house and we can walk two doors down. He didn't need to fly to Chicago. Our school didn't need to spend $3,000 on hotel rooms or $4,000 on hotel rooms to do this. We came here for a conference.
But I will tell you a point that you're missing out on is that at this moment, I recognize now that I am more aligned with somebody who's technology invested. She may be your neighbor, but of all the principals that I personally work with, she's somebody that's invested. So now I know that I have someone that I can lean on or rely in communicating with because she has a level of expertise or interest that may be beyond the typical principal.
Well, and I think I run into people at this conference who I work with in the same district or I know locally, but I don't necessarily see them all the time, right? Like, I don't see them all the time. And no, they're not the only reason I'm here. And I see people from all over the state and all over the country that I know and interact with on Twitter every day. But that doesn't mean that I have the same conversation with them on Twitter every day or whatever. Like, there's still something to be said for being in a situation without all those boundaries and all those issues that you might deal with in a personal setting.
Look, I'm here.
Again,
I'm here and I'm not here because I'm contesting the conference. I think the conference is great. And a few years ago when I was at the conference, it was incredible.
Yeah.
I got to go to sessions I thought were going to be beneficial to the role that I was serving.
But did you come early though?
I don't think we. I don't know that we made it in on Sunday that year.
I don't remember. No, I think we. No, I think we got in like a day early. We didn't get in 2 days early.
Yeah, we didn't get in on Saturday. We got in Sunday that year.
Either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, even those days, we were able to get. I don't ever remember waiting in line to get into a session.
And Rosina and I were talking about that because we were both there in San Antonio last year, and maybe 3-4 sessions filled up that I saw, but it was certainly not like every single one of them that they were.
I mean, it speaks volumes of them though, because they've built this to the point where people are now coming earlier to show up at the conference, which is that's fantastic. I mean, the turnout today was incredible to see that convention floor,
and it's still tiny compared to what you're going to see tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. But what I'm saying is, if they're going to run People's Choice, you know, sessions the day before, technically it opens before the keynote even speaks to open up the conference, and you've got enough people showing interest in it, then they have to at least sort of prepare. So whether it's a, yes, I favored it, yes, I'm going to be there, like, you know, create part of the app, yes, I'm going to attend, and then create space for 75% of the people to say they're going to go.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or don't run sessions that include badass leadership in the title on the pre-conference day, because who isn't going to show up?
You know what's interesting about that is most of the People's Choice sessions, and I find this interesting because Dan made this comment too, but most of the People's Choice sessions were denied by ISTE.
Really?
Yeah, so that's what's interesting about People's Choice is they opened up after refusals and acceptances came out. So Dan, we did make it into the 11:30 session. Some of us did. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a good session. I really liked Dan Krynitz has been on the podcast, the coaching tools. Mm-hmm. It was very good. And I thought it was good. And,
But what's interesting is he made the comment, and I know plenty of other people's choice did the same thing, that they had already submitted those and ISTE refused them. So I really hope that the takeaway for ISTE is
the rooms for People's Choice need to be bigger.
Well, the rooms for People's Choice need to be bigger, but I think it actually just speaks to an issue in the process.
Well, that also, yeah.
Because I know which of my sessions were accepted and denied, and I wouldn't say that the ones that were accepted were necessarily my strongest submissions. And so I think that there's something in the process of accepting. Now, to be fair, they get an astronomical amount of submissions,
and it is a
major process. So I'm sure
the end result might be rock, paper, scissors.
Exactly.
But, I mean, honestly,
100%. I think
Lizard Spock might be in there too.
The president, the ISTE president, made a comment about it today. He said the numbers, and they were like out of this world of how many people applied for sessions. So I get that it's a massive undertaking. But still, I think maybe that means if there's the People's Choice component and it's giving success like it did today, because even though in ISTE's presumed failure of not getting everybody in there, that's success for the sessions.
Sure.
Then that means something. So we need to look at that process.
I mean, and there were plenty of people out videoing, like, the crowds and going through. Mm-hmm. If they had just paid attention to the numbers of people waiting and hoping to get into the rooms, that, to me, should promote change for next year, because
there were a ton
of people.
ISTE is constantly iterating and changing and making improvements, so I want to believe that that's going
to
happen.
I'm sure they're going to have to take that into consideration. Yeah.
But some of us got into some sessions today, and I thought I wanted to talk a little bit about those, and then we'll close out by talking a little bit about our Chicago experience, because Chicago, I think, has been fun for a lot of us. So,
awesome.
But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit. We did make it, three of us made it into Dan Krynas's session on top tech tools for coaches, and I wanted to just be curious thoughts. Chip, what do you think about Dan's session?
First of all, I think for me, and I've been telling people about this all day, the one takeaway for me was the fact that he revealed to us, or I mean, he's revealed previously and it's been revealed, but I didn't know it, is that Flipgrid is now a tool that's free for everybody to use. They partnered with Microsoft, and that's now a tool that's available for everybody to use. I thought it was exceptionally cool when he shared the coaching aspect of using Flipgrid and saying that you could send out you could send out an assignment, I would say, or a prompt to a group of teachers. And the one that he shared today was about the word failure and how people look at failure as a negative, but actually it's a positive. And he was asking everyone on a certain team to share, you know, a time when they had experienced a failure. And Flipgrid just allows you to upload like a selfie style video of you talking about something or doing something. And I thought that was an exceptionally effective and useful tool. A lot of the stuff that he had used, only because I've been through a one-to-one integration previously, and I've seen a lot of the Google tools, and I've seen a lot of tools like Padlet, and stuff. A lot of stuff that he talked about already, I'd seen things like that.
Yeah.
But Flipgrid, not only seeing it and then having a few examples of how it could be used, some more in-depth stuff about Google Calendar and setting appointment slots for things, I thought was really incredibly useful. I also really enjoyed the fact that he created a Padlet and gave a link that we could just go to and access, and not only that, we could add to.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody in the session saw something useful that people could learn from, they could add to that. I thought that was cool too, because I just bookmarked that. So now anytime in the future that I need to go back and kind of check, you know, what that session was about, I could just click on that Padlet link and go to it. I thought it was a good session. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was good.
I liked his format too. He did it as a very informal, very chill, and it was like he would maybe talk for 10 minutes and then give about a category of tools, and then he would, for 10 minutes, let you kind of play with them, talk to your neighbors, figure it out. And I thought it was good. I liked that part of it where it wasn't just him just talking to me for an hour.
I thought it was good too. I liked the way that he did that. I just think maybe for the future, he should probably come up with a definitive way to refocus the group. Because there were a couple of times where he started to talk again, and I was trying to pay attention, and all the people around me were talking and talking and talking, and I wasn't able to focus on what he was saying because there was so much chatter going on.
Too many distractions.
Yeah, it was tough. So I think, like, maybe at the beginning of a session to develop some kind of a way, like, hey, when I do
here's
this,
my callback signal.
This is the refocus. Yeah, we need to come back in because it was a lot of really good info and a lot of really good tips. And I feel like I may have missed some stuff because of the nonsense going on.
I'd like to point out that one of the cool things of this conference is while I was not a participant in that actual session, it was really cool to have Chip come back and share with me what he exactly experienced. And it was really exciting to me. I want to learn more about the actual functions of an almost Snapchat-like experience that could be shared in class. You know, I see a lot of kids day-to-day that play with Snapchat, and I'm hearing about an opportunity for teachers to connect with kids in a Snapchat-type environment with a specific focus that can actually...
For academic purposes.
That can actually have an academic focus, and that was really cool. The beauty of this conference is that there was a seed planted that now I am interested in, and I think our team is going to look at exploring with our teachers when we get to pre-planning and coming into school year. And that's really the beauty of a conference like this.
Yeah, and it goes back to that networking component. Is, you know, going through the rest of the day is, I think, one of the things that I would like to see is that as a group, especially since many of us are coming from the same school, you know, we're all hitting sort of different sessions and getting those different ideas to bring back to one discussion.
Well, so a few of us did the session this morning, the one that we just spoke about that ended at 12:30.
Then we got Chicago Deep
Dish. Then a handful of us went off and, we did go to lunch.
Got lunch.
We had some pizza. You guys can talk about that. But
shout out to Lou's.
Chip had a salad at Lou's.
Stop.
He had a salad. He had like a bite of pizza.
So you guys went back to the conference after lunch.
We did.
We did.
So what was your experience this afternoon?
Yeah, what was the afternoon session for you guys?
I wanted to wait until I wanted to talk about Ignites, and you were the only one I could talk to about it. And I want to talk about Ignites because I love Ignites so much.
First of all, reel yourself in.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Take a breath.
Okay. Take a deep breath.
Let me start off.
Calm down.
I'm okay with this.
Refocus.
Because of the fact that this is my second year at ISTE. I had never been to an Ignite session. And so Umbra was telling me how awesome they were and kind of explained to me what they were. It was a bunch of different people, and they have a certain amount of time. They have like 5 minutes, 20 slides. And so today they had, it was a little mix-up. So it was adults, and it was also kids who did it. And I swear to you, today...
The kids were awesome, weren't they?
Completely blew me away.
What was this about again?
They were amazing. So each person, or each little segment, each presenter, is only 5 minutes long, and they have 20 slides, and it automatically goes.
Wait, that's what you're doing now.
Is that what you call an Ignite session?
Yeah, it's called Ignite.
And so you get a little bit, and it could be completely random things. So you might get something out of a couple of things. You might not get anything out of one thing. One might be towards high school. One might be towards elementary. But it was just so amazing to see this, like, rapid release of different random things and
Different ideas
and different ideas.
What I love about an Ignite, you can go to an hour and a half, and in an hour and a half you see 15 presenters or 12 presenters or whatever it is.
We saw 17 today.
And so you get 17 basic ideas, and you get like a kind of an overview of the idea, but then from there you have the contact information, you can reach out to them. Yeah. You were in the digital tote looking at their sessions, and you know, we were connecting with them on Twitter and doing all that kind of stuff.
I recorded some sessions that were really helpful.
So are these related in any way?
No,
like,
not really.
So it's just you get 5 minutes, go up and talk.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And so they do three rounds during the week, so they do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, the Young Educators Network is putting on another round. And so there's a set of Ignite sessions all 4 days of the conference, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that is, so there's, you know, throughout the course of the week, that's almost 80 sessions that are each only 5 minutes. And you may only get three or four out of that hour and a half that are great.
So, Well, but do you guys remember the content of your sessions, the ones you saw today?
I can.
Like what was the content of, let's say, like, one each that stuck out to you?
I'm gonna pull it out right now. You're gonna steal one from me.
I can pick out three more, so it doesn't really matter. But
I mean, I think it goes to the effectiveness of them. If you can tell me like what
there
they were
about. Out of the 17 we saw, there was a good 5 that really stuck out to me. But the one that stuck out of all of them, and I think Brad could agree.
And you got to give me like presenter. You got to give me content. Like what you learned. I need the meat.
It was a child. He's 8 years old. He does a science podcast. He was on the Ellen Show, and he literally had so much passion and so much drive, and he has such a good personality.
Well, I'm assuming he had passion, but to be fair, neither one of us could actually see him because the podium was bigger than him. So you couldn't see from where we were sitting. Literally, the angle of the podium meant that he was not there.
We actually couldn't see him.
Podium and hair.
No, not even hair.
No, we couldn't see his head.
He was so much shorter than the podium.
How old was he? He was like eight or seven.
Yeah. He's like 7 or 8.
Second grade, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's insane.
Second grade,
and he's been on Ellen. He's been on Ellen for his science podcast.
Yes, like, and he crazy. Just had
wait
such
a minute. Whoa, a second grader.
Yes, he's
has
8 years
science
old.
Podcast.
I mean, his dad helps out, but yeah,
no,
and he is.
When you say his dad
amazing.
Helps out.
Does all the editing, but okay. I mean,
that's fantastic.
The kid records it. He does all these interviews. They were showing pictures of him doing his work. Like he's doing genuine work.
Anyway, so this kid was just amazing. He has such, like, charisma and passion about what he was doing.
What is he doing?
He's making a podcast. But his argument, his point for the Ignite right. was really about the power of podcasting, but also just genuine voice. So even as an 8-year-old, he's now connected with all these people just because he was given a platform and someone to encourage him. And the idea in an education setting is we should be encouraging more teachers to do this. Our teachers should be encouraging students to do this kind of
stuff.
With
the use of free resources.
With the use of free resources, absolutely. I know we're going to go there, but you guys run ahead, so let's ask questions.
I'd like to point out that the beauty of what I'm hearing right now is that we're talking about give students a voice. You know, the beauty of a student using podcasts is beautiful, but how cool actually would it be if teachers actually took the time to give students the opportunity to talk to one another, problem solve in small group, share with each other, then share that podcast with each other so that they could break down what they're hearing. I really love the fact that this student actually had a voice. And I agree that the beauty of the podcast is that it gives an opportunity to share to the masses a voice from a selected few. And I really like the idea of taking that at school level and sharing group podcasts, group discussions with each other so that we can identify strengths, weaknesses, and arguments so that we can, I don't know, rationally think about, synthesize information, have argument, counter-argument. What an awesome opportunity to think.
Man, wouldn't it be awesome if you had a teacher coming to your school who has experience with podcasting and could actually not only his own podcast, but actually has helped students run their own podcast before? Wouldn't that be cool?
If only we knew somebody who
only there was
that. It's a good thing that Bradley Scheffler is coming on board.
Let's just say,
by the way, thank you, Nicole, for introducing me to Brad. I'd like to point that out there. Professionally, Nicole Mutters is the person that
she totally gets credit. Bonus point for Mutters.
Even Nicole Mutters. Said, yes, okay, bring him on because he's awesome. Go ahead.
If someone were to introduce podcasting to their students or their own children, for that matter, obviously not personally self-serving, what would be the best way to get them started? What would someone need to do to get them started? If someone's listening to this and they say, there's got to be. I keep hearing Brad and everybody else in this podcast talk about how effective podcasting is for PD, for student voice, for learning, for sharing, for reviewing, all
for
these different
listening.
Things that podcasts can be used for. How how can I get started? What do I need? What so exactly?
That's actually a great question.
So I'm going to save us a little bit of time because I know what Razine is about to do, and I was curious if this is what
she
was going to do. Because
what kind of equipment do you need?
He actually made that point in the podcast. In the Ignite session, I should say. He made that point.
The
kid did. He said you should.
What was the kid's name?
God, what was his name? Buxton.
Nate.
That was it. Nate.
Nate,
he made that much of an impression. You guys remember his name? It's pretty impressive.
Nate podcast.
5 minutes.
His Nate podcast is this Twitter. That's right.
I've known people
in
for
5 minutes.
Years, and I don't remember their name.
I know
that's
his name.
That's fine. But he was that kind of impressive.
Who are you?
But, so Nate says, then Rosina's looking at her digital tote of resources because she saved all
right
these presentations,
now.
Which is what ISTE would encourage you to
do. She uses the word digital tote.
That's where they're all at, yeah. Okay. And I don't ever use that thing, but she did, so I noticed it. But he would suggest Anchor FM is what he would say is the easiest way to start, which is actually
what I'm
going to talk about. So yes, it's an app. You can download Anchor FM as an app, and it literally is, you create an account, and once you have it installed as an app, you can also install it on your desktop as well. It can be installed on computers and everything. But as the app, you literally just click the button. Oh, he does. You're right. Okay. So Anchor FM is one option. He also suggests Spreaker is another option as well.
Spreaker?
Spreaker.
Is that two E's or an E and an A?
It's speaker
it's
with
like
an R thrown in.
Yeah.
Speaker with an R.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you do? Like, how's that work?
Same thing. You install it, you click a button, you record, and it kind of automatically posts, automatically stores, make sure everything
is... And Spreaker hosts it? It doesn't use like another hosting service?
Spreaker does the hosting,
so is it
yeah.
free?
Spreaker has a free service, and it also has a premium service.
Yeah.
Anchor has a free service that will do most of what you want to do if you're only going to be up to like 5 minutes or so. So I wanted to say...
So maybe
I want to say two other things. So I will.
They can contact you for questions, and let's move on.
I wanted to also say that with the Ignites in general, you said one of the things that you would say makes them effective is if you can remember more than one. I would say that in general, the students across the board, and there were probably four or five students that I thought were just great. I mean, there were really some phenomenal student sessions in the Ignites. There were some good adult ones as well. I want to point that out. They just kind of get... You expect adults to be good because... They got approved, and it's not an easy process, as we've established. So you kind of expect adults to be good. You're blown away when these 8-year-olds, and this 8-year-old with dyslexia goes and reads a 5-minute presentation and just blows you away, because it's like, the whole thing is about having dyslexia, and she reads it, and it's like...
It was incredible.
Oh, and she does it well, and it's just awesome. But I think across the board, all of the students in general, overall, the student voice, and this was true last year at the Student Ignites, which were new last year... The whole point students are begging for is to get teachers to give them the space to be themselves and to share their voice.
That
and ultimately, that's the student voice.
To come. That was when I looked at the conference. I'm like, what in the world? Because I honestly, God, before this whole, I had not even heard about it. When I pulled it up and started looking at the, I was like, holy cow, these kids are presenting. If these kids find enough value in this to show up and present, I'm like, we have to go.
Yeah.
And so to see technology and learning and growing and all of that through the kids' eyes and for them being able to present, that was my buy-in for the entire conference.
Well,
sure.
And you know...
Literally my favorite part.
Yeah. I remember being at the last ISTE I went to, and I think a lot of the networking connections and information and things that came out of that, a lot of it came from the Ignite sessions, right? Because you... 100%. Brad, you made a connection with that that woman, what was her name? The blonde woman. You contacted her over and over and over again after that.
Oh,
God, who was it?
That was years ago, I don't remember. But there were a few that I contacted. That was where we learned about student tech support, was at Ignite.
That was her.
It literally
her
became my job.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, because there are a few people that started that, and I can't remember which one it was.
So restate what you just said, that literally became your job.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, I mean, she went into a concept that literally became what your class now is.
Yeah.
On a very large high school campus.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it goes to show...
It speaks volumes.
Well, number one, we're talking about these official sessions that last an hour and how we couldn't even get into them this morning.
And yet we got
about
17 different ideas in an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I think the big thing is when you bring these students in to actually lead the Ignite sessions is that's the ultimate perspective, is that you're trying to get kids engaged with learning in general. And when kids are giving you their perspective on how they learn best and how they synthesize the information they're being taught, that's what it's all about. So when you get their perspective on how they learn and how their friends learn, that's That's what you're looking for.
But I'm going to agree with a component of what you're saying, and absolutely students love to be engaged. But students aren't 100% sure how they learn. And so that goes back to the actual idea of allowing students a voice in the actual participation.
The process. Well, give them the platform and they'll figure it out.
You know, we go back to the 1970s and teachers taught at students.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is the actual identification of the dialogue of a teacher setting up a question, a component, a point of thought, and then students actually breaking that down into multiple pieces of dialogue and then sharing it with each other, maybe in a podcast even. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
And then as they listen to each other's podcast, they identify points of strength and weakness. They identify points of
agreement. Well, it's their individual takeaways.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what ultimately what we want with every student, right? It's maybe less about the specific point of information they learn and more about
what they're going to do with it.
The idea of them identifying information and thinking.
Yeah.
Well, and it's this morning, we went into a session with an incredibly experienced educator who's worked in the field for a long time, who does a podcast, education related. We learned a little bit of information. And we spent about 5 minutes talking about it earlier, right? Yep, I sat in a session for an entire hour. And we spent about 5 minutes talking about it. You take an 8-year-old kid, a 7-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid,
yeah,
who spoke for 5 minutes, and that 5-minute session has created close to an hour's
crazy
worth of conversation.
Dialogue. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you have an hour's worth of a session that's created 5 minutes worth of dialogue. I mean, it goes to show.
It just speaks volumes about what the
if anything,
kids. Yeah.
I feel like this podcast should reduce the lines at these long sessions and should increase the attendance at the Ignite sessions, because it's honestly like these, it's just like asking a student to write a paper with constraints.
Yeah.
You want them to strip everything unnecessary and everything uninteresting and everything disengaging from that piece of writing to only the single most engaging and interesting and important parts of it.
Just the takeaways.
And these people have done that, and they've done it in 5 minutes, and the proof is in what we're doing right now.
It's in the conversation, yeah.
We've taken 5 minutes, and we've been here talking.
But honestly, that was my favorite part about the Ignite session, was it was none of the sessions had to do with anything. They weren't correlated at all, which I loved. So it was like you could... So we listened to about 17 people, 5 minutes apiece, 20 slides apiece. It was automatic, and it was like, okay, so I could take something from here. If it was if it was something that I didn't want to learn about, I continued to take...
It was only 5 minutes.
It was only 5 minutes, but I would continue to take notes about the previous session. So I'm still not wasting my time.
So what was your greatest takeaway other than the kids? Because obviously they were a hit, because... You know, it's not normal to listen to 8-year-old
presenters. For me, I would pick one of two. I can honestly pick two different ones, and I do know both of their names. Jen Giffen, who is Virtual GIF with two Fs on Twitter, she did a session about what she learned about teaching from trying to make pancakes.
Who is she?
She is an educator out of Canada. And she did just really, it was more like a personal story, which it felt more like a TED Talk kind of. And it was more of like, it was really just about iterative process is really what it was about. So it was like the first batch of pancakes. I mean, we've all made pancakes, I'm assuming, or at least most of us have. Her point is really about iterative process. And so she was talking about how like the first one didn't come out right.
Easy for you to say.
And then she, not, because I've messed it up twice, so no, it's not. But she... Talking about how, like, it didn't come out the right the first time, but she had to reflect on it, and then do it again, and reflect on it, then ask for help, and kind of just really about
just
education in general. And really thinking about, like, assessment as a whole. Mm-hmm. It's like, how are we assessing students? Are we assessing them on their first pancake or the final pancake? And really, that was kind of what she talked about.
And it took her a good four or five tries.
And she had pictures to prove all four or five tries, so I think she was telling the truth. And
within 5 minutes, it... It really was just like...
Yeah, like it kind of all tied together in that last second. I thought I did a good job.
Yeah.
I like Jen. She's a fellow podcaster on... she's involved with Voice Ed Radio, yes. So I've interacted with her there as well. And then the other one I would point to in terms of my personal takeaways was Pernille Rip, which, if you don't know Pernille, yes. She's a very well-known educator, is massive in terms of reading and teaching reading. She is very much against all these like reading systems we use and Read 180 and
Where's
Achieve.
She
and she is originally from Denmark?
Denmark.
Oh, okay.
Pernille Rip. And what I thought was so great, she was the last one that Dignity Knight. She's huge. And she ended it, and the way she ended it, the opening of her presentation was explaining a personal anecdote, a personal story where she had been pulled over for what she believed was maybe speeding or something like that, but she didn't really know what she was pulled over for. And very, very clearly just detailed the story where she had been pulled over and the fear she went through because she knew she didn't have her green card with her and she's not an American citizen. Oh. And she was terrified because she thought if the police officer,
for sure.
She was supposed to have it, but she had left it at home and she was like terrified and goes through this whole story. But of course the cop doesn't ask her because she's from Denmark. So she's a white blonde. So of course they don't ask her. Mm-hmm. And what she basically says is through the next minute or so, she explains other scenarios in which her life and this similar thing has happened, and her friends just basically told her, well, you look American, mm-hmm. and her response was, and that is white privilege.
That's the issue.
And
exactly.
She goes, and it was like, okay, that was cool the way she tied it, and then she really ultimately brought it back to technology should be used to start to break down some of these barriers and move right. these discussions, because many of our students are dealing with that same issue, but they don't have the same privilege to be able
exactly.
to get the okay that you don't have a car, you know, green card with you today, even though it's at home and mm-hmm. some of those other issues. And so I think if you're, you know, if you're dealing with some of those issues in your area, which I know some of us are for sure, that was, I think, a really powerful moment for me was that when she literally looked at us at the end of a slide and just goes, and that is white privilege. I think that was just such a wow moment. And it was.
So what she said was the takeaway, obviously, besides that technology creates an even playing field for the students, no matter where they come from.
I don't think that her comment was that it does, but that it could.
That it could.
That if used correctly, it could.
So, I'm almost afraid to ask this question.
Go ahead.
But are these sessions going to be available, like, at any point
Ignites
somewhere
will be,
online?
Yeah.
Where are they available? How can I find them
so
if I want to go and watch these
If
sessions?
You are a member of ISTE, which all of us are because we are here, you get a membership, they will be available in the next 3 or 4 weeks. They'll be available on the website. But only for members and of ISTE. So if you are a member of ISTE, you'll be able to see them. If you're not a member of ISTE, you may not be able to. I don't really know what gets shared on YouTube and things like that.
And how how would they be available?
Once you'll have a login for the ISTE website, the same one you've been using to get onto the app and all that stuff. But when you get in there, there will be a link in the comments or something like that. I don't know the exact link off the top of my head, but there's an area for recorded sessions you'll be able to see after the fact.
Well, I can tell you, as a person who works at a school that is transitioning 101, I'm super excited to have you be leading the planning, to have you actually plant the seed for all of us to be here.
Just to create the excitement.
To create the excitement for Nicole to push for this moment, for her to take on the responsibility of working with you and getting over 150 teachers involved in teaching Digital 101. This is absolutely an exciting moment. While today was just a small bump in the road, the dialogue and the networking that has occurred for me is still inspiring. And I look forward to tomorrow. And
tomorrow's going
to
be awesome.
To the next opportunity.
Excited.
Well, this has been significantly longer than I planned on. I have no idea what I'm doing with any of this anymore. And so here we are. So we'll catch back up maybe tomorrow if we're not all exhausted from a wonderful day of the conference.
Peace out.
Have a great night.
Yes.
Or day.
All right. So ISTE is over.
It is now the following Tuesday as we record this, and we have survived, which is a big plus. It was a whirlwind experience, and the team all made it back safe, and Mr. Chip Harbin and I are sitting here to reflect on our time at ISTE to close out the experience.
It was an experience. It was unique in several ways. It was exciting. Yeah, I had a great trip, man. I really had a good time. The bits of the conference that I got to see, were excellent. The Ignite sessions are just, I mean, insane, but I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, back home, it feels good to be home. I was actually homesick, so I'm glad we're back.
Well, you were, one trip right onto the tail of another one, right? Like, I mean, you had been back for like 2 days and then went out to ISTE.
Yeah. And now that we're back, I'm turning right around this weekend and going out of town again. So it's that summer life in education.
You make good decisions. It's really the moral of the story.
Keeps my house clean.
All right. So key moments, you mentioned Ignites already. So we talked about the first round of Ignites. Do you have any key takeaways from either the second or the third round of Ignites?
The second round, there was that kid, Austin Tong.
Yep.
I think, was his name. He's in middle school now, I believe is what I heard him say. I don't remember his exact age. But man, that kid talking about, differentiating instruction, I would say to speak to the interest of students, not so much their learning styles, but working things into, something that gets the kids intrinsically motivated to do their work. It was crazy. That kid had his presentation down pat. He was a professional, yeah,
he
for
was
sure.
Dead on. And he was like that last year too.
Yeah. I mean, I would love and hate to be his teacher at the same time. Cause it's like, what do you got? I mean, like this kid knows everything about my job.
This kid is going to present at a 100,000 person conference.
He's legitimately doing a good job of telling me how to do my job. And he's like 13.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I really enjoyed that presentation.
So some of the ones I pulled out of there was, Kyle Bowen, who you will remember by his graphic work.
Yes.
Dude had the best graphics of the whole session. And he was talking about like artificial intelligence and what that means on the future of teaching, but really his graphics.
Yeah.
Like the one that I have on my blog post, you can see at bradshelter.com, the one he put was the texting dead. And it is, and I can only imagine he did all the graphics. They were too consistent to not have been done by him. So he did all the graphics, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And they're really, really good. The texting dead, there was the BYOD action figure, bring your own device action figure, which was like just a kid in a G.I. Joe packaging, but like with, now with Kung Fu texting grip.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some good graphics.
There were some really, really entertaining Ignites. I think that's one of the most unique things about them, and that's why I like that format, is because I think that level of intensity and that level of excitement in what you're doing, I think is easy to maintain when you only have to do it for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? You
I have don't these feel long... like the word easy goes with Ignites in any way whatsoever.
I'm not saying easy as in it's easy to do. I'm saying it's easy to keep up that momentum. I mean, it's easy to keep the energy up for 5 minutes.
Well, I don't know that it's easy. I don't know if I agree with that. But what I will say is, as a method, it really forces you to prepare in a way that a normal presentation would not necessarily require. Even a keynote, you can go off on a tangent a little bit. But in an Ignite, you have exactly 5 minutes. Your slides auto advance. And if you go off on a tangent, it's pretty obvious. And it takes up the limited amount of time you have. So if you want to get your message across, tangents aren't really an option.
There were a couple of times where I couldn't tell if the presenter got off base or if the slides were somehow put in out of order, because they did end up addressing everything that was on the slides. They just didn't do it in sequence with the slides. So I don't know which one was off.
So having done an Ignite, and I mentioned that if you listen to the podcast last week, it was actually the recording of my Ignite session. But having done it, it was interesting as we were all backstage getting ready to start our Ignites, and pretty much every person of the 11 or 12 had a different way to write and do their Ignite. And it felt like I was probably one of the only ones that had a truly memorized, prepared 20-slide session, and the other people had very different ways of doing it.
I mean, that's a very diplomatic way of saying that you were one of the few who didn't have their cell phone in their hand.
I have to defend my fellow Igniters, because I did say that's what I was going to do, and about... two people before me.
You got sold them down the road.
I really did. I said I was going to do that. And then about 5 minutes before we started, I literally just said, nope, you know what? I'm not doing it. And I put my phone down and I trusted in myself, and I flubbed a couple of times. I did not hit my points exactly how I wanted to. But I'm satisfied with my result. I want to be clear. I don't think as an audience member, you would have known I didn't nail my points.
No. I thought you did a phenomenal job. It's not an easy thing to do, to get up and speak in front of people, period. So, having your phone is completely excusable. As a spectator, I did notice the difference in presentations when someone was just speaking and when someone was reading from a phone.
I actually really don't remember what I said. Like, I totally blacked out.
Like Will Ferrell and old
100% school. Blacked out.
Yeah.
I felt like, up until about 15 minutes before I went on, I was nervous. And then about 15 minutes before, so two people ahead of me were on stage and they called them up and I just went like a light bulb. I was like, okay, ready to go. It was like performance mode. You know, you get in performance mode, you're ready to go. And then I remember, I remember tripping and barely making it up the last step.
Didn't notice.
And then that was it. Like I don't really remember what happened. And then I got off stage, and as the guy started to take my lapel mic off, I literally felt like I was going to pass out. Like my entire body, like, just was done. It was like,
I can't believe that you don't remember what happened, because you were one of the few people who actually, breakdanced in your presentation, to Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
I'm fairly certain that isn't true, because I still have all my teeth. And the last time I tried to do that, I did not end with all my teeth.
Check the video. I remember it differently. Distinctly.
All right. So Ignites are a win. Overall, ISTE experience, you're positive? You're glad you went?
Their choice of city is phenomenal.
Yeah, dude, Chicago was awesome.
I'll say that.
Definitely makes up for San Antonio last year.
I really enjoyed Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago was super fun.
I'd say I split my time fairly between the conference and the city. Fairly.
That's the only cough I'm going to leave in the show, by the way.
Yeah.
That one's staying. The other ones are coming out.
Okay. That's a good one to hold in there. I'm doing my best. But we did a lot in the short time that we were there. We had an unofficial tour guide that was a friend of a friend who lived in Chicago and told us like all these really cool restaurants and places we could get into like super fast without having to wait. All these cool things that we did while we were there. And we did them in a really short time. So I enjoyed the trip from beginning to end. It was great.
I also enjoyed the trip. I will say, don't miss out on the social opportunities that are provided by the ISTE groups. The various PLNs often have social events, and a lot of the companies have social events. So reach out to your groups. Reach out to people you know. See what's going on. Also, pro tip, just go on Eventbrite and put in the city that the conference is in and just type ISTE. And you'll find all kinds of events you can register for that are going to be free. So like basically every night of the week, you could probably eat for free and maybe even have a beverage or two and have a really good time. And so shout out to the Young Educators PLN, which is now changing, but the Young Educators PLN threw a great event this year. I did not make it to EdTech Karaoke, which I'm kind of sad about, but it was apparently completely packed.
You could most certainly do some karaoke, but you got to get your tickets early.
Yeah, let's definitely check that out and participate through a good party. And that was those are the main ones I made it to, but it was a good time. So definitely don't miss out on those opportunities as well if you're going out to ISTE next year, because those were fun. And like I said, I actually said last year my goal was to take more advantage of those groups, and I feel like I did that this year. So I made my goal at ISTE, which is nice.
I would agree. Cool. I would agree.
Chip, anything else you want to throw in before we wrap this thing up?
No, man. Nothing at all. Just, you know, looking forward to a new school year coming up. Looking forward to all the new challenges and opportunities it's going to bring.
All right, Chip, man. You have a good night. I appreciate you taking some time to wrap this thing up with me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you guys so much for joining me on the podcast to talk about ISTE. I'm so glad I got to spend so much time with you guys in Chicago, and we got to really learn so much while we were there. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can always connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Brad Streffler, and also the same on Instagram. I love to hear from you there, and that's also a good place to connect if you'd like to be a guest on the show. Or you can visit the feedback page on my website, which gives you further options for feedback as well, which you can find at bradstreffler.com/feedback. Until next week, find your tribe, and then find a reason to meet them in real life. Music for the Planning Period podcast is the song Vicious by Kevin MacLeod, used under Creative Commons. You can find him at incompetech.com. The Planning Period podcast is also a proud member of the VoiceEd Radio Network, a 24-hour radio network all about education all the time. VoiceEd Radio. Your voice is right here.